Everybody, welcome to another brand new episode of the Because Cannabis podcast every single Wednesday at 4:20 p.m. on YouTube and Thursdays with video on Spotify and anywhere that you listen to audio podcasts. Dustin, this show comes out a few days past one of the most epic holidays in the cannabis industry. In the last 2 years, Dustin Cava, the Because Cannabis podcast has represented every single stoner out there and did 4 hours and 20 minutes live. And we didn't do that this year. And we're going to talk about that today on the show. We'll get Dustin's thoughts on me bailing on the 4 hour and 20 live stream. We got some things we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about 420 on the show today. We're going to talk a little bit about payroll and salary discrepancies in the industry. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about weed hangovers. Is that a thing? All that today on the Because Cannabis podcast. Stay tuned. Talking about that. That's not what matters right now, Dustin. I was out and about this past week, pre-420, pre-gaming, maybe 420, as some might say, even trying to shop for products on 420. There's a lot of great deals, as we know. And I was at a dispensary, put an online order in for a ton of products, got a call back from the dispensary, which I felt like I was in trouble. They're like, yeah, we got to talk to you. I'm like, what did I do? I ran out of days. If you're not familiar with the Ohio system, out of days. How does that work? And Ohio has a medical system. There's a lot of math involved, and there are people smarter than us. Check out Tim Johnson. Check out Dr. Bridget Williams. Some past episodes we've had on the Because Cannabis podcast, people explaining the medical program. But basically, you have a 10 ounces, if you are a terminal. So just so you know, if you're dying, extra ounce of weed for you in 45 days, bro.
Dude, I have to say, if you're fucking running out of days, you are doing something illegal. Who the hell smokes
I ran
9 ounces in 45 days?
Well, you say 9 ounces and you're like, okay, and there's this math that's Ohio's 2.83, but what happens is when you get into edibles, not even concentrates and vaporized oils, but it's the edibles. I have learned this past week, the edibles eat into that 9 ounces very rapidly that you don't see coming. See what happens, Dustin. In addition to this, these two 45-day rolling periods that Ohio has, and within these two 45-day rolling periods, you can purchase this 9 ounce. And it's really hard, to Dustin's point, to run out of days. I know there are folks that do it. It's the very, very small number. Like, it is the very outspoken niche group that actually runs out of days in the state. It's like a few percent of the state actually does. It's hard to do it unless, as I learned, you really buy a lot of edibles. So I'm out and about buying a bunch of product.
Is it 9 ounces? I swear that
it used to be 8. It got up to 9 when they it used to be a 90-day period. And then they split it to these 245 days. And when they did that, they added another ounce to both the terminal illness, that extra bonus ounce, bro, because you're dying. You could smoke more weed. I know that you probably need it, but that's the way it feels to me sometimes. This extra ounce for the terminal, they upped it from 8 and 9 to 9 and 10 when they split the 45 days. There's a lot of weird rules. One of the other rules Ohio has, and in fact, a lot of states have this actual rule. There is an expiration on cannabis. I mean, of course, have you ever found, Dustin, a really old, like really old nug that basically was like an Indiana Jones thing where you had to like really treat it carefully because if you touched it, you were afraid it would literally crumble in your hand. Have you ever found a really old nug on the basement floor or somewhere?
Yeah, when we were stealing my buddy's dad's weed.
But did you smoke it?
20 years ago.
I
was 15, 16 years old. Of course I smoked it.
Would you do it today though? Like I found, I have a little station in my basement. I have a little spot and I must have dropped a little like small nug, like a popcorn, not a big daddy, but a little one. And I was rearranging and I found this little nug and of course I smoked. I don't know how old it was.
If it's on the ground,
the cat chased it around.
No, so then are you the type to eat the Skittle that fell underneath the couch cushion 6 months later?
No, but I don't put fire to the Skittle. I made in my mind a decision in that moment that by putting fire to it, it killed all other bacteria. Okay.
If I have to
admit, that was my math in my head. Look, we've all made math decisions in our head, and that's the one I made.
I have to admit, this happened to me last night. Out of all the days, if you would have asked me last week or last month, I would have said you're fucking crazy. But last night, I was working late and I found in my, I have a little stash container that you can put on your keychain that's supposed to be waterproof. And this baby went through the wash with me, and I fucking smoked that detergent filled fucking nug last night because I needed it when I was working. So yeah, I guess
we all would, right? Yeah, so there's an expiration date. Like, does cannabis expire? No. Will it make you like, there's probably more CBN. That's a good bud to smoke at night. Don't be smoking that basement floor bud in the daytime, because that CBN is going to be amplified to the magnitude. I'm not touching the Skittle. Or I'm not touching anything. I'm very strict. There's no 5-second rule in my life. It touches, it is dead to me. It's like floor is lava. You fall on the ground, whatever it is, I don't pick it back up and put it in my mouth. I mean, I don't. But I will smoke that bud because I believe that the fire kills the evil, right? Fire kills the evil. So there's another rule, this expiration date. 1 year after kind of packaging, the products expire. And because people buy them and they want to make some money, if you're at a dispensary, and I've been traveling to a lot of dispensaries recently, Dustin, across the state, if you're at 3-4 dispensaries a week, there is always something about to expire somewhere. So there's always some really low-priced products at a few different places. And so I happened to be at a store, and they had a ton of edibles for crazy cheap prices. Liquid beverages, which I love, chocolate bars, which I normally don't buy, but it was like crazy dosages for like $5. So I had to get it. And then I put my order in at my usual dispensary. Shout out to Culture Cannabis in Akron. Had to call me. I'm out of days. I could only get like one little thing. I could only get my luster pot and my concentrate. No flower.
I feel like I do not feel bad for you. There is something with this. I'm like, oh, you hit your.
I do have a lot. I feel like,
or like, you, it's like you don't have 5 ounces sitting in the back here, hanging out, waiting.
The safe. I keep it under lock and key. I'm a responsible adult. It's not empty at this point. Let me put it that way. So it's not like I really need to worry about the days, but it is a thing. Like, I have to actually. I'm not only running out of my days, Dustin. I'm about to do, and we talked about this last year, about this exact same time, because that's when your favorite host of the 19th Best Rated Podcast. So do you think people like me better than you, Dustin? We ever talked about this? Who do you think they listen? I think people like you better.
No, you know what? Even my
You're
own
more sincere.
My own family fucking talks about you more than they talk about me. They're like, oh man, did you see how hard Beastie laughed the other day? He was on fire. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I'm here.
Nobody I know listens to the show, so I don't get that kind of feedback. I don't get any feedback. So no one I know listens to bother to tell me. A few random comments tell me how terrible I am. Thank you. You're welcome. It would have been this time last year. We had to get our med card renewed. Thank you guys for joining us. We're going to talk 420, going to talk salaries in the cannabis industry, and going to talk weed hangovers here in just a little bit. So yeah, 1 year ago today, Dustin, I got my med card. Shout out to Dr. Bridget Williams, MD. You can find them. I'm probably going to try and put a link. If not, you can Google it. Dr. Bridget Williams, MD, if you're in Ohio, hook you up with med cards. Great practitioner in the state. Got me my card. I got on her Calendly booking. It's crowded. Tough to get on there. Shout out. Must be busy. Got my renew appointment. So 1 year ago today, got my card, about to get it renewed. I get to renew it with the state for just a penny this time instead of $50, as we talked about during several of our live streams with Tim Johnson. You can find those on the past episodes below. So I'm going to renew it. I know adult use is coming. Right now, adult use in Ohio is looking like July 1st. That seems to be, it was September 7th. Representative Jamie Callender, shout out to him. He kind of put a message out there that basically said Ohio is going to be selling it by July 1st. And the state said, okay, it looks like. You can find that out. We talked about that in one of our past episodes as well. That's why you got to subscribe, Dustin.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly why they have to subscribe.
We're talking all the latest stuff. Had some great interviews. Terrence White, CEO of Monco. Zane Witzel from Canador. Broderick Randall, the second. With Bena Leaves, had on the last three shows, really great interviews, talking mood. I got to tell you, the show, if there's anyone out there who is listening, that show has been the one that I've had the last week. I was around a few folks in the industry that they did. I don't know if they listened to it, but they saw the thumbnail. Shout out to you, Dustin Kava, great thumbnail. And they're talking to me about the thumbnail, which they assumed only because they didn't have a lot of details. So I think they heard the thumbnail, maybe listened to the first 4 minutes. Thank you. and then bailed on it. But if you hit the subscribe button, you'll find that information out the day it hits. That show has been a bit there in the modern conversation, and the THCA continues to come up time and time again right now. So if you haven't checked out those shows, get that done right now. We would appreciate it. Your support. Dustin and I hanging out here on Because Cannabis podcast from Wayward Media. Right now, I want to let you know, as we're coming up on 420, it's a holiday. And I got to tell you, I'm terrible at holidays. I don't know how you are at remembering them. I have noticed as I've gotten older, I tend to forget more holidays. It could be the weed. It's not. I'm going to go with old age. That's what I'm going with in that area. So as I get older, I tend to forget some holidays. I'm not as good about remembering to like fill up my wife's anniversary card and get her a present. Sometimes I pick it up that day. I feel guilty. Like I'm a sitcom, like I'm a living, walking sitcom, Dustin. Like that's how I treat holidays right now. I'm like whipping it up at the last minute. Like, hey, not all of them. I nailed a few. I do rock hard occasionally, but I do feel as I've got older, these celebratory holidays, these Hallmark created holidays, you know, things like even like Memorial Day and July 4th, like national holidays where we celebrate the independence. Like, I'm glad we won with muskets and whatnot. That's fucking awesome. But I don't know if I need to get together to cook burgers or to get a card or to buy a basket. Are you a holiday guy? Is there a holiday that does light your fancy? Am I scrooging out on every holiday?
No, man. Holidays fucking blow. I am not, dude. Well, I'm of the thing.
By the way,
of like,
there are people who love us who like need our support on holidays. We're like, fuck, oh, they're terrible.
No, you know what, man? I'm like, even down to the gift giving, you know, there's always you got to get a gift on Valentine's Day. You got to get a gift on Sweetest Day. You got to get a gift on fucking Easter. I am like you're going to get one gift a year. I'll think about it over the year. And it may come on a Thursday, the 19th of May. Who knows? It's just, it does not matter, you know, but I hate this is the particular day to get together, guys. I hate that.
You know what also it's a day for, especially in our industry, Dustin Cava, it's a day for deals.
Is it a deal when you're getting a year old piece of weed? I mean, like, to me, it just seems like, well, we didn't throw it away. You know, it's like, you motherfucker. Thanks, bro. You really got me good. You guys are.
One of our past episodes, one of the past two 420 live streams, we didn't do one this year. We got busy. It was on a weekend. Saturday is a great day, probably for the industry. Bad day for your favorite cannabis podcasters to get together and do 4 hours and 20 minutes of live streaming. We've done it the last 2 years, 8 hours and 40 minutes we put out on the show. One of them, I think last year's, we went down the deep dive of the history of 420 with the Waldos and getting together behind the thing, the 420 Louie, and that just picked up. Maybe someone from the Grateful Dead heard it. And then it became this phrase, right? It became this phrase, oh, 420, bro. Oh, 420 on the clock. It's a time to smoke. And it was for the longest time. I got to believe if you're in the 70s and 80s, maybe even early 90s, kind of before cannabis goes mainstream, before it goes legal. Do you think 420 was cool back then before it became commercialized? Because what's happened is 420 now, April 20th on the calendar, to be specific, not 420 every day, but 420, April 20th has become a cannabis like Hallmark holiday, meaning it's a thing where you celebrate and all of a sudden some news articles get written and some jokes get made. And then your bud, your product, your weed bra, it gets cheaper.
I don't know, man. Okay. Here's the thing. I hate this holiday as I've grown older and become, let's just say sophisticated. Cause I look really sophisticated. When I owned the shop, it made sense to make 420 the customer appreciation day. And I would say that, yes, a huge portion of our monthly sales came through on this day. But at the end of the day, I am so sick and tired of these goddamn stoners needing a fucking holiday to blitz their weed. It seems so damn silly. It seems like I cannot stand it. I hate the rephrasing with the word days, holidays.
Holidays, bro. Yo, it's bro, we're fucking, times. Oh, I have written holiday
shit. I swear to God, if I ever hear my kid come to me and he says, "Dad, you want to celebrate the holidays?" I'm gonna be like, "You're done, dude. You're done. It's over."
Time out for you. I've written that almost every year. Even it's great in the holiday season too. By the way, in the like Thanksgiving to you know, kind of Hanukkah, Christmas, that winter holiday season, also great. It's great to be holiday. You can be religion neutral and stoner friendly with holidays, right? You work it around. It's the way you get around everyone's kerfuffle. But nowadays, Dustin Cava, 420 is a day that you get cheap weed. I mean, that's what it is. As I talked about, I went out to buy some inexpensive cannabis product in the medicinal marketplace and was denied only so much because I found other cheap deals. But on 420, both every dispensary near you puts out a lot of deals and specials. But my favorite thing happening, Dustin, is like the non-cannabis places just kind of seeing a thing and being like, hey, let's see what happens. For example, Popeyes, it put out a $4.20 chicken sandwich on that day for that. And there's all sorts of places. This pizza place, if you're doing their app, you get a $4.20 pie add-on to the thing and free pizza themed rolling papers, Dustin Cava. That right? Hold on a second. I would have, wherever they're at, I would have got that. Here we got some free churros with a purchase. Like nothing says like celebrate 420 and holidays like free churros, bro. Free churros are delicious.
Dude, when was the last time you got munchies because you were smoking weed? What are we for? Like,
probably right now.
I do not. The more and more that this THC is getting up there in percentage, the less and less. And I'm going, oh yeah, I'd like 16 tacos after this joint, bro. The shit is just out of hand. It's out of hand.
Do you get mad at places that just do the simple? Not, like, here's what the standard is, like 30% off, right? There are some deals in Ohio, there were stores that were 50% off the entire store. And I don't know if they did it like the furniture store where they make the prices higher so they can take off the prices lower kind of thing. I don't know. But it was 50% off the store. It was pretty legit. Like I went to a store that was 40% off the whole store, like everything you could buy. So there were deals not just on old product, but on new product on that day. Do you like that? Do you get mad at dispensaries and retailers? Because I think,
well, if I were them, I would fucking make it 70% off when I know my POS system's gonna fail for the day and I'm not gonna sell any of it anyways.
So now I'm like,
I am the hero, even though I know it's a bunch of bullshit.
So we talk about that. If you're listening right now, you may not be familiar, or maybe you are, Dutchy.com. We had Ann.
Which we love.
We had Ann on there. It was great. Dutchy runs the majority of point of sale systems in the cannabis industry. iHeart Jane and a few other folks make up the rest, but it really is Dutchy's market to lose, right? It's there. They've been there since the early days, as Ann talked about on the past episode. I'll have to link her show, give her a shout out. So it's nothing against Dutchy. However, we got to keep it real here. And if you're on LinkedIn, they're keeping it real about this issue right now. There's some angry folks writing AI-generated posts about Dutchy.com right now on LinkedIn. Just go to LinkedIn, type cannabis CEO. We'll talk about their big bucks later. And you'll find out angry with emojis, diatribes. That's how you can tell it's AI. Angry, the emoji-filled diatribes about how Dutchy, for the third year in a row, on the busiest sales day of the year, which is April 20th for the cannabis industry, it tends to always be the busiest sale, not the biggest profit day because everything's cheap, but the busiest day of the year, Dutchy system crashed, went down across the country. Not all Dutchy stores were affected. I was at a Dutchy store that was down. There were 6 or 7 angry patients, not angry, but chill patients in the lobby waiting. In this store, all the staff was dressed up in like weed suits and they had free coffee and they were not able to sell. But 10 minutes later or 20 minutes went from a store to another store that was Dutchy that was selling. And they sold all day and didn't have issues. So we don't know the exact number, but for the third year in a row, Dutchy's point of sale system crashed on the busiest day of the year. Like, it's not a good look. I know there are competitors that smell like blood in the water. And this feels like if you're one of those other players, iHeart Jane's the one I know the most. There's a couple others that aren't coming to me right now. If you're one of those smaller players, do you think of this as in the next 364 days? Like, that is your sales pitch and that is your build. Now, if you make that promise, You know, you got to pay them bills and you got to live up to it and you got to hold it up. And
I will say that last year, Dutchie did make good on it. They paid out a lot of money to these dispensaries off the lack of sales. So these dispensaries did not, you know, like, I mean, some of them were even projected sales that they were paying them, you know? So it was like they got money for not doing a damn thing and they still have all the product that they were going to sell, which the next day they got to have it for less percentage off. So I don't know. I don't know if it's, there is something about scaling your company in a way where you should absolutely be able to project certain days and know I need more resources for the servers on the back end. If I was hosting a gaming tournament and the gaming tournament, you know, came out on a certain day, I don't know. I would.
It's not like they don't know, though. They clearly know. They've been down 2 years in a row. They backed up, but whatever it seems they're doing to prepare, because I am under no illusion. I'm not like I'm on a Reddit thread saying they didn't. Of course they prepared. They talked about this. There was meetings upon. We've both been in the world, business world, cannabis business world. It doesn't matter. I will guarantee you, as they say, there were meetings upon. There was meetings on 4/21/2023.
About
this issue. Yeah. Someone may have got fired. I mean, things happen, real life consequences. And there have been meetings in this last month or two as they've been building towards it. And everyone knows that they crashed for 2 years in a row. There were meetings and there were conversations and there were stress tests and there were things done. But the end result is ultimately it still failed. So I know that they tried and I don't even feel bad. I mean, I'm not mad about it. It happens. Like, I get it. But I feel like this is a area where it's like, some of these, it's almost like a sport thing. And I've seen this comment on LinkedIn about this. Like, oh, if you can sell 364 days a year, I don't care, but you got to perform for me on the one day, right? Like one of those arguments. This, like, you got to.
Well, and I'm going to bring up the blockchain argument because they wouldn't have this fucking problem if they just integrated blockchain technology into their fucking shit anyways. I mean, when the whole world is processing your transactions, you have a redundancy of 200,000 servers as opposed to Dutchie's 45 or whatever it is. Like, we are using archaic forms of technology with an overregulated fucking base that's forcing us into this archaic technology. And I'm fucking tired of it. I mean, at some point you just got to stand back and laugh and say, I can't believe one, these deals did not just happen on 420. They were weekend long. I saw 40% off from Friday to Sunday. Like, there are,
I just don't think they had the crowds on those days. I think, and I was at dispensaries Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like people weren't there. They're waiting for that day. Even if it's
so silly. Well, why aren't they doing it? What Black Friday does. I mean, is Black Friday on Black Friday anymore? It's like, no, Black Friday fucking starts 2 weeks ahead of Black Friday. You know, like, are we that?
Well, that's the inevitable retailization of the holiday. Like, right. It is to me, you know, and you brought up the term or maybe like the disillusionment of it. Like, it is, it's a retail holiday now. I don't feel like the celebration of the Waldos and this history, like, that's just done. It's a number. It's a marketing thing. We all take advantage of it. It's a marketing thing. It's another cannabis holiday. They've tried to make more cannabis holidays, Dustin. You know, there's July 10th, 7/10, because if you turn it upside down, it looks like oil. And now they put deals on oil. Green Wednesday. Speaking of Black Friday,
Green Wednesday.
The cannabis industry has tried to co-opt the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Is a day that a lot of dispensaries sell discounted products and they call it Green Wednesday.
People, I just want to shit in all their fucking mouths. Like, I'm sorry, but this shit is, when has the retailization of anything turned out to be cool? When, like, it's like your favorite band getting popular and you're like, fuck that band now. They ain't cool anymore. Now everybody likes my favorite band. You know, now their lyrics.
Cannabis has a bit of that problem, though. You know, it does. It has that as it gets commercial and commerce becomes a bigger part of it, which it's happening, right? It becomes the distribution of it. The distribution of it becomes easier and easier. There was a quote from even like Snoop Dogg, who sells like a THCA drink. Go listen to our Mood episode for a full THCA breakdown about how his product is in like big box retail stores and is great and easy to get. Like Snoop Dogg, like the OG of weed, who clearly has no problem getting weed, is out there like saying it's awesome that you can buy it in like ABC liquor stores and Total Wines. Like, that's cool. Is it cool? Exactly. I don't know. I think a lot of folks think that, but if you were at some of these Like if you were at Kim Tam Park on 420 here in Akron, Ohio, those folks probably don't like the commercialization. They're talking genetics and seeds.
But why fucking have the goddamn event on 420? You are being just the same type of cock in the mud that everyone else is when you're like, up, we got to have this campground on 420. You are, it's fucked up. And you know what? Johnny Cannabis, he's cool, man. He's all good. I'm all
we're
good.
Losing friends today,
Johnny C. But I will have to say, come on, we are higher educated with our cannabis. We are more conservative. We are more friendly towards waiting for deals. We shop around. We go on certain days to get our 30% off. Anyways, there is absolutely no excuse why this shit has to be a thing. And I'm so against this.
How else are we going to get Cheech and Chong in the Call of Duty though? What other reason is there going to be besides 420 to debut the new Cheech and Chong skin?
Yeah, that's all I fucking need is Cheech and Chong in Fortnite, where my kids are like, Dad, let's watch Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, no, they won't touch that Fortnite. Oh, Fortnite would touch that in a heartbeat if they could get the money from it. No, they're going to the Call of Duty. So yeah, how is she going to get that, right? It is funny how it happens. It's funny how the deals come out. It's a weird world, man. I don't know. I think it angers some people. I think it makes people mad, but it also is, it's how you get mass access and how you get the legalization of this and you get the freedom as you get people to think it's totally normal and acceptable to put all this stuff in your body like booze and like, hey, it's normal. And then it's at Target.
So then what's the holidays with
alcohol? Like, is it terrible if it's at Target?
What is the comparable? Is it the St. Patrick's Day for alcohol? What other, is that the 420 of fucking, of, you know?
Alcohol, you know what's funny? Alcohol to me doesn't necessarily have, and maybe it's because of cannabis, and this is obviously my opinion, cannabis is like outlaw imagery and where the 420 exists. I don't think alcohol has a day to like celebrate the booziness, but it has co-opted every fucking holiday it can think of. St. Patty's Day, Cinco de Mayo is one I can think of right now. That's the celebration of Mexico's independence. And you know what? Why picture in my brain, as soon as I see that, I picture someone shoving a lime into a Corona bottle. Because that's what they're going to sell. Of Corona themselves are like, hey, bro, it's going to be that. You know, obviously, these other holidays like 4th of July and stuff like that. But those two especially, right? St. Patty's Day and actually the entire Mardi Gras celebration, which isn't even really, you know, it's about, once again, these freedom and these celebrate, it's all booze. But then Cinco de Mayo is another day that's been completely co-opted by the alcohol industry as a thing where you're supposed to drink and party on that day because of, like, isn't, I don't even know the story of St. Patty's Day, but I feel that's like some religious thing. I've got to imagine, right? Isn't it the saint of Patty's?
I do not want to hang out with 2,000 fucking stoners in a goddamn park. I don't think that's a good time where it's like, I don't know if I'm just getting older or what, but I feel like maybe when I was 17, I'd be like, I looked forward to 420. I was definitely going to get a sack on 420. But then again, that's because I was going to get a sack. I mean, like, I already had a sack. I don't know, man. I have to laugh at this shit, and it's only going to get worse. I mean, it's only going to get worse. We're going to be having this 420 conversation every year for the next 15 years. Until
I think it's going to be the opposite. I think it just becomes something that is so mainstream that everyone who's cool just ignores it, right? I think it'll be cool in this industry at some point sooner than later to ignore 420 and be like, bro, they do it on the day before, or they don't even acknowledge it, right? They're going to get together and smoke weed with their buds, but they're going to talk about how they're not celebrating 420. So really, just not celebrating 420 holiday. Same thing, bro. And so you're doing,
you're
the
celebrating,
same thing.
Not celebrating.
You're celebrating, not celebrating. You're still just celebrating 420. I don't know. It's not going backwards. Let me just put it that way. 420 is, no one's ever going to be pushing more information about the Waldos and hanging together on 420. More people are going to sell cheap stuff like pre-rolls and other things on 420. That's what's going to happen on there. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about this. Dustin, what do you think about 420, by the way? Let us know in the comments. Do you like,
I think
420?
It's Hitler's birthday, and then it's fucked up that we celebrate our weed holiday on Hitler's birthday.
Is that like a true thing?
That is a fucking true thing.
I feel like I know that actually.
It is absolutely true. And it's fucking crazy that a bunch of industry-wide folks are like, yep, this is it. I know, you know, like this is, it's ridiculous. These fucking people are silly.
I got a question for you, Dustin. If you're looking on screen, if you're watching on YouTube, if you subscribe, you're watching on Spotify with video. I have one of those, like, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound kind of question right now for you right now? So I want everyone to sit back, spark your favorite product. Is it in a cone or did you roll it in a paper? Because I need to know right now, Dustin, if it isn't rolled, is it even a pre-roll?
Yeah, I guess that's a great question. That is a mind-blowing question. I guess they're correct in saying that it's not, I guess.
God, the pre-roll industry as we know it, which is 15% of sales, infused pre-rolls are 7% of sales across the country. It's going to become bigger. It's going to be one of the biggest products in Ohio. It's not going backwards, similar to the 420 celebration. Pre-rolls are a convenient and not cost-effective, but into the mind's eye, cost-effective because it's a lower individual purchase price point. It's like buying stuff at Walmart versus Sam's Club. It's still cheap, but you could buy it cheaper if you bought it by the pound and rolled your own. But the pre-roll industry, as we call that, is dominated by what are technically pre-rolls. They're dominated by cones that are stuffed, right? Cones that are stuffed are what we call pre-rolls. That's, I would say, almost, and I'm sure there are some companies that do it by hand. They
probably guess what? The paper is pre-rolled. Just because it's in a fucking cone and you're stuffing it, they're still rolling the paper and sticking it, you know, like... This is the nuance isn't really that nuanced. It's more like, do you want a straight joint or do you want a coned joint? And that is a silly argument to make in this industry. I think that, I don't know, man. I've always been surprised. How about this? I am not actually surprised that cones took over just because the cost to manufacture them always was a lot easier. You could fill a tray of cones, shake it up the packet, and do 100 at a time. Whereas you're really not going to get that same type of efficiency out of a straight joint, out of something else.
Well, now they're like, we had Patrick Grenier on. Check out one of our past episodes from Pre-Roller, right?
Yeah.
A company that sells it. They're putting out machines that are making 5,000-6,000 pre-rolled stuffed cones. And there is a science to it. Patrick breaks it down about how it fills a little, stuffs a little, like measures. Like there's a science to their measurement to make this impactful cone that burns the whole time. But they're putting out 5,000. You spend $500,000. You basically can then put out 5,000 pre-rolled cones an hour. Now, these articles, Dustin, we're talking about, these are on Gondrepreneur.com. These are kind of those marketing articles that are basically written by the company. So we'll make that fully clear, but it became an interesting conversation. We'll give a shout out to the company that is talking about it. When I find Kyle, there's Kyle.
He definitely looks like he fucking smokes weed researching all the time.
He does look like he's researching. He could be high. Let's not judge people, Dustin. That's like saying you look like you smoke weed all the time and I don't, which is true, by the way. Not the don't part, but how we
look. I just love that our goddamn smartest minds in the country are focusing on fucking creating devices that have already been goddamn created 75 years ago. I mean, I used to roll my own cigarettes. I used to both by hand and by machine. They have stuffing machines at, you know, like I just think that this is like it's a hilarious thing to me that this is where the best minds are going. It's curing ED and figuring out a pre-roll machine. And this is where our minds are going right now.
By the way, the journalism at Gondrepreneur on point. Do you think that most pre-rolls are dry AFUC flour, dried as fuck flour there? She puts, so turns out this is the pre-roll. Pre-rolls are stuffed cones, which we know machine stuffed cones. This article claims they need dry flour. I don't believe that's entirely true, but it probably helps to do the overall.
It's the shake, damn it. Why not many people take their good quality buds and grind that shit up and put it in a cone? It doesn't necessarily make financial sense to use that material for your pre-rolled. I think that I would, if it was me, the shit I'm putting in my cone first is the stuff that's at the bottom of my bag. Like, yes. I am not gonna break open my nugs to stuff in necessarily until I have to. And so why would a company do that when they can sell premium packaging, eighth normal nugs, and then pre-roll their shake? I mean,
that's if what I makes was, sense, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense not to. I also do think that, you know, most people think that obviously there's an efficiency of scale with cones, but there's also a science to how a cone burns as opposed to a normal joint. The way the end heats up and has a larger ember, the way the smoke has to come down, the swirls inside, how the evenness of smoke per paper ratios happen. And there's a lot of good science behind a cone. But again, I mean, I think that the age-old debate of cone or not cone is a silly debate when we're still, I mean, it's not necessarily a subpar smoking experience, but it's a, who the hell cares, bro? Like, just smoke your weed.
Now, I feel like that's the same. We've been scrolling through the article. It's from gontrepreneur.com. We'll put a link to it below. We'll give the Roll Pros Blackbird, right? And so it's a cool-looking machine. Like, it looks cool, and it rolls the joint. It's got some words in here about how basically I like this. Look at during the testing. So during the testing days, he's out in Oregon. He's going through basically getting a bunch of flour from them and then selling back pre-rolls super cheap back to them and then going for there. So they've been in a few years. And so basically it's rolling it versus stuffing a cone. That's their kind of sales pitch. They had a couple of articles, Gontrepreneur going all in here on these guest contribution articles for that. So let's go through these reasons that they say your customer prefer. Now, this is a written by the company. Let's be real clear here. Written by Roll Pros Blackbird. Sure, they're a great company. I bet you it's a quality product. I'm sure we'd like it. And it would probably get high AF, as the kids say, in gontrepreneur.com. So first one,
yeah,
rolled pre-rolls are more potent, right?
Okay, bro.
So let's see here. So we have businesses that use rolled pre-rolls, you know, their machines. They're saying basically they're using dry end of content flour is where this is rolling fresher flour inside of there.
Well, so because what happens when you roll fresh flour in your cone? How about, like, if it's a fresh flour or dry flour debate over here, like, so you're telling me that what happens when the cone is using fresh flour, which some pre-roller customers do use fresh flour. The machine is designed to take fresh flour and pack it efficiently in a cone. Again, my biggest thing with all these assholes is how tight are you rolling it? And you're still the one piece of technology out of all of this that amplifies all smoking experiences with rolled up objects is the tip. The tip allows even airflow and even burning. If you fuck up that tip, you are going to fuck up the burning of the pre-roll. And so again, you know, like, what are we really, is it really the straight or the cone that's designating that? Or is it the actual tip that we should be looking into? The most technology infused portion of this product.
Oh, I like this one. Let's talk this one real quick. Let me read this to you and then let me get your thoughts here real quick. So it's talking about rolled pre-rolls are cheaper to produce. And so this article that we're reading through here talks about how when you're shipping a bunch of cones, right, the cones can be empty space basically within a packaging unit. And I buy this. There is a logistic. Don't roll your eyes. There's a logistics.
There isn't. To this. So, okay, I wish I could take it.
Let me finish painting the picture. Hold your thoughts here. And so when you ship the paper to your Blackbird Roll Pro machine, it's flat paper, right? It just uses paper that it cuts and snips as it goes. So material cost, 80%. You're looking at 0.03 cents a unit versus 0.1 cents. To put it plainly, let me read this here. One pallet of bobbins, which are what you sexually are called, their paper is 24 million joints, and it would take 60 pallets to get to that same thing of pre-rolled. So you're going to do that, and then there's something about moisture. But they're looking at this, and I don't know if this excites the general audience, but when you're running a pre-roll business, they're looking at it on the back end is going to be significantly per unit cheaper, hence making the company more profit. Does that excite you, Dustin?
No. Do you think I really care that Bob Proctor of fucking Proctor Weed and stuff is making more money? I don't give a damn, especially when they're going to charge me the same base price as what they're charging on the cones. They're not offering it to me at a better, you know, price point. I also think this shipping argument, you know, when you ship a triangle and you put you know, like, let's just think about this here. We have a fucking triangle.
Oh, Dustin's doing drift. You're watching on video right now. I feel like Dustin's drawing and is about to show something on the screen. You got to subscribe to get notifications to get breaking content. Piece
of paper here. It's this idea of flip the cone upside down and now they fit together like two straight fucking joints.
Yeah, like yes.
This is not fucking rocket science. And if you are packing your cones properly, sealing the ends properly, it doesn't matter what direction the damn cone is sitting in. The shit is so obtuse to what we're trying to do. And again, I am tired of this industry's incremental updates or going back to something that's 40 years old and being like, this is better than where we were. It's such a silly, mute argument when you can finally present something to me that hasn't been done 60 years ago and say that you actually are innovating on the technology behind it. That's when I'm going to say, okay, you got me, bro. I'm going to start buying.
All right. System. I'm about to get you. You know what wasn't happening 40 years ago? Cannabis CEOs weren't making 400 bills 40 years ago. They weren't making any money. Right now, this is a great article from Yahoo Finance, fortune.com, Yahoo Finance, talking about some cannabis CEOs, Dustin. I saw this and immediately thought of you. Now, it's a...
I'm a cannabis
much
CEO.
Like, hold on. Much like the article we just read, which was on gondrepreneur.com, we got to peel back some fourth wall layer and onions here. That article was kind of written and paid for on gondrepreneur.com from the company, Roll Pro Blackbirds. Great company, I'm sure. But it's kind of like an article slash advertisement at the same time. This article has a very clearly attention-grabbing headline, and I'm sure that there are some, but maybe let's get your opinion. So this headline reads, cannabis CEOs make on average $400,000. While the edible chefs in the kitchen, sir, all of a twist in the kitchen, they're so poor, making 46, excuse me, cannabis CEO, may I have another gram of oil to make some chocolate with, are making $46,000. So this is an interesting article. Let me read to Dustin here, and we'll get your thoughts. Speaking of 420, 420 is the happiest day of the year, but it's not for everybody that works in the industry because I've been on LinkedIn and I've seen the complaints. Everyone's mad that they don't make enough money. So was
everybody. They should be mad if California can make a $20 minimum wage to make a burger, but this guy's making the same damn wage doing something with cannabis, specialized, highly regulated, need to be badged in the state and background checks to make sure you didn't jack off in public. I think
they should be badged for burger making too, but that is a weird thing that you have to be badged to dispense, to work at a register, to sell cannabis, which works just like any register. You typically have to be background checked, and it's the same job as you're working at McDonald's when you grab a burger from someone in the back and you hand it to the person.
And we're not badging the THCA sellers at Walmart. You know, like those fucking register people are not badged. So what are we honestly saying here? And what discrepancies? I think that this is absolutely, I mean, honestly, you know, if you can think about CEOs that need to make more money because they live in a higher cost of living state, say California, New York City, you know, the beachfront property, Miami, wherever the hell, I can understand some of that. But I think at the end of the day, my biggest problem with this industry is the fact that they're not even paying their bills, but they're going to pay their CEO's bills of $400,000.
Telephone bills, pay your cannabis bills. I feel like these are some statistics and I feel like they're a bit skewed, but let's run through what they're saying is what this article says. And once again, take it for the grain of salt, you know, for what it's worth. The average cannabis salary CEO, according to some other, you know, a lot of data sets said it was about $400,000 compared to $227,000 for some other companies. Dispensary managers in some places making around $99,000. That feels a bit high. And for this area, I know Ohio, you're not getting there to start. Edible chefs, about $46,000. Bud tenders making about $42,000, which I guess if you did like 20 an hour, that might come to that and stuff. So, I mean, they're talking a little bit of salaries there. Basically, the headline says, it feels like it's a sneaky headline because it's basically like CEOs make so much money compared to chefs. But it is an issue, right? Like, it may not be a issue. We don't know the exact numbers, but you have companies that are out there making this product. The CEO, like every company, the CEO, which it's hard to judge, right? How they got there. There's this whole conversation about it always on Reddit, how the CEOs make infinitely more.
And CEOs are not putting up their own money. So I have an issue with this. If the industry is not profitable, if 280E is eating into your pie, all those things, and you also don't have the risk and liabilities of your own money being put into the pie, I don't agree with this nonsense. And most CEOs are there to just exit in 3 years anyways and sell to a larger company. You know, again, we've talked about licenses only last about 3 to 5 years before they're sold and transitioned to another owner. We've seen multiple dispensaries, multiple, you know, licenses in Ohio who only had their license for a year or two and then exited. And so if you're going to make $400,000 a year to just exit in 2 years, you're already on the wrong path. You're already on the path of what the hell do you care about anything? You don't care about your customers. You don't care about your bottom line or your employee salaries. What do you care? It's just that, you know, you're going to be gone in 3 years. Who the fuck cares? And so I have this hard thing where this industry is exploiting a lot of its workforce in a lot of ways. They like to complain that they don't have money, but at the same point, they're willing to spend money on bullshit trade shows and all this other nonsense that if you add it all up, you could have probably gave your employees a pretty hefty bonus that would really truly make a difference in the lives of them and their children. This is crazy. Again, when someone can make a minimum wage fast food not as stressful job as trying to make sure that everything is compliant in every way or hits certain numbers or certain weights at all times and so on, I find it ludicrous that we accept a $48,000 position to be in that. When I was in tech, I used to set up call centers and, you know, I made pretty good money for setting up call centers, 500 people at a time that I would manage to get phone calls and transition this to the sales and manage the databases of all this information. And I was only making, you know, $20 at the time. This was 25 years ago, but still, when that network was down, when there was an issue with the network, which I was in charge of keeping up at all time, the company lost $400,000 an hour. And so the amount of stress trying to solve problems, knowing that every 15 minutes that this network is down, I'm losing an entire year's salary on it, was bullshit for the amount of money I was making. And that is the same way I apply a lot of the industry today. Is this is not necessarily a low stress environment when they are constantly threatened, constantly told no with how they market, constantly told you can't write this off, constantly all this other shit is higher stress. And this is not an easy industry. It is moving super fast. And so you need to pay a wage that keeps them updated, that gives them purpose to stay updated and understand new policies and not just check out at the end of the day. And you need to pay your employees a reasonable wage to ensure loyalty, because it's going to cost you a fortune to replace that guy next year. When it costs $20,000 to train the average employee or $15,000, what the hell is it just to give them an extra $15,000 to stay? I just don't understand it.
Maybe, Dustin, maybe they're just having a problem paying all their bills. Right. Ooh. New article on Gondrepreneur.com. While we're reading that article, and this is more of a researched article from Gondrepreneur.com than an advertised article from Gondrepreneur.com that hit recently, total delinquent payments in the cannabis industry up to almost $4 billion. There's a lot of startup sneakiness that happens. There's some great documentaries. I just recently watched the 6-episode WeWork documentary starring Jared Leto as the CEO of WeWork, who kind of started this whole thing. Never really made a dime. I love Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes.
You love her. She's in prison now for the next 7 years, but I love that, babe.
She just sold a nothing. She sold a portion of a dream. Who made billions in the
what does venture capital companies do? They buy nothing. They
like cannabis now. They're seeing this aspect where they get all these loans and investment dollars to start, and then companies don't make as much money, or the dream doesn't. The green rush, as it was known, was all pre-COVID. We know it's not there now. So these investment dollars are struggling. So this recent report showed that somewhere between $3.8 and $4.2 billion.
That's is about where the 10% of the industry is not paying their bills, or the 10% of the industry's bills are not being paid, because the industry is like a $48 billion market in the United States right now.
So that's a huge
portion. 10% is a lot to not pay your bills. Absolutely. Yes. So my question is, okay, I've seen multiple things with stuff like this within the industry. I've seen bigger guys come in and watch videos where they're laughing about not paying the bills, where they go, what the fuck are they going to do? They're a small time little dispensary, or it's the dispensary that's not paying the cultivators. It tends to be the
cultivators more than the dispensaries. And I think that's where the problem is. According to these cultivators in this article, basically there's a, I would love to pay my bills, according to one respondent, if others would pay me first, right? So you have this thing where what happens is, and this is where I'm picturing, cultivators are growing the product and they're selling that product. And they're hoping to, especially in less regulated and people who aren't really business savvy, maybe they don't have a good double accrual counting system up and they're keeping track of it. Like they're waiting for the payments of the weed after it sells. And so they're selling it to dispensaries. Dispensaries aren't selling it fast enough or aren't giving them money back. But people invest more in the cultivation, but cultivation requires people to buy weed for them to make money, right? And if
well, and you got to remember that these cultivators are also paying a pretty hefty commission on that sale. So they're paying their employee 6%, whatever the industry-wide percentage on, say, $1 million deal contract to pay this. And so you not only had the cost to produce it, you paid the cost to sell it, and you're not collecting the money after the fact. And so it is a double loss, and it can absolutely be a problem within the industry. But do you think that if this CEO made less than $400,000, that they would be able to pay their fucking bills? You know, their cannabis bills.
Of course, they'd be able to pay more of their bills in that section. It's interesting. The article talks about, and this is, we did a couple of shows ago. Maybe it was the Mood Show. We were talking about Big Short. I watched the movie Big Short, and they're talking about, they see it. What's the guy that Christian Bale played?
Burry?
Yeah, Michael Burry, right? They're talking about Michael Burry sees this crash coming in the industry. And we talked about that, both the THCA, like cannabis companies not being worried as much about THCA really cutting into their business because it's not real weed, but people in the world just want to smoke weed and they don't give a shit where it's made. But this also, and this is a great statement here, right here in yellow here that talks about the industry, you know, unless there's some sort of regulatory intervention, this is just going to keep compiling, right? They're going to keep, it's like gambling. You're going to keep hoping that eventually, you know, you're going to end up trying to make a profit in some way, right? You're going to keep hoping that, hey, I'm going to bet this big. I know I might lose, but this next bet is going to be the one that brings home the bacon. And in this case, this next bud that I grow is going to be the one that actually makes the profit. So the cannabis industry keeps like growing, keeps selling it to folks, but it's not selling as rapidly, or there's so much product. Look at all those products we talked about already in the show, all those products that are end of life here in Ohio, all those things that I could get super, super cheap. When they finally sell them at the dispensary, they're selling them eating into their own profit. And they're not pushing that loss of profit back to the cultivator. They're just not paying the cultivator as a whole, Dustin. So it becomes this problem. Like there's a flaw in the machine. We probably do have too many people growing and selling weed as a whole. It's going to be a race to the bottom when it comes to cost. And it's going to be this question of what happens with the industry, right? Like, does it crash and burn? Does it have
And we've had this conversation. One of my favorite lines from D'Angelo, from Andrew, was, you know, they are all working for the IRS. They are all with 280E. They are all working for the IRS. And so, yes, obviously the one change that would happen to put this industry in a different footing is to change the way 280E works, to allow these guys to write off many of their expenses. But I also think that when that happens, when it finally happens, if it ever happens, we're only going to see CEOs' salaries increase, and they're going to still keep the bud tenders at $17 an hour. So fuck these assholes.
There's no better way to end the show than fuck all the cannabis CEOs. Looking out for the little guy. That's what we do here on the Because Cannabis
Until podcast. I'm a bigger guy, and then you're fucked because I'm definitely
you. Yes. Yeah, once us that and I, once this, like we're right now somewhere in the fledgling cannabis podcast space. We are consistent content every single week on YouTube, every single week on Spotify, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. That's where you'll find brand new episodes of the Because Cannabis podcast with Dustin and I. We may be fledgling. And so right now, we love you. But if we get bigger than you, fuck you. You know what we're always going to do, Dustin?
We're going to
make sure we pay our bills.
Yeah, that's right. You got to pay our
bills. As long as we pay our bills, it's all good. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to this episode. That was a fun show, Dustin. I enjoyed talking through all that with you. I enjoyed chit-chatting through some of those news articles. We'll be back again with some interviews here coming up soon. Be sure to check out some of those past shows. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Go to @WM socially. Follow us on there as well. One of these days, we'll post something up. Dustin Cava, as always, great.
What a great show, homie. Love you.
Love you. All right. Let's see you guys. Pay your employees. Respect them. Or just advertise with us. Either one's good. We'll use your money to help pay our bills. We got bills. You got bills. Everyone's got cannabis bills. Got them new sneak bills. Got them goat bills.
My pockets are still empty. Empty still.